Welcome to Two Girls Who Read, a podcast. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Lily, and this is the podcast where we talk about anything and everything book related.
This week's topic is book scenes that would save us from Vecna.
Seems like to be right up our like podcast listeners' alley, because every time we like try to do something like serious, they're always like, yeah, it's good, but then we do the most unhinged topic ever and they're all like,
this is why we're here.
So we're back at it again.
Yeah, with the crackhead ideas. And honestly, I feel like at this point the crackhead ideas are really just like my shower, like my toilet ideas, honestly. Like they're always the most random episodes I think of at the most unhinged moments. Like,
oh, I remember the episode that we were talking about doing now.
Oh, okay. It was another we need to give context before we do this. So, basically, hi, everyone. Before we get into it, we have a few things to talk about, so we might just quickly bring those up so we can get it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is we were trying to think before we did this podcast episode, like, oh, because we were in Sydney yesterday, Lily and I, around the streets of Sydney and...
Little mini day trip.
Lily, well, we were both tourists, but I like to just say Lily's the tourist and I'm like the local and whatever.
Even though Olivia's been to Sydney one time before yesterday in her entire life.
Yeah, literally. I've been to the Opera House, like the Harbour Bridge, like one time, and then I was in Sydney for like 6 hours and dipped. Anyway, but it was nice to be back and... Yeah, you know, as a local, and Lily got to be a tourist, was really cute. and anyway, we were hanging around for the day, and then I don't remember, but Lily's just remembering now, there was an instance where we were having a conversation, and then I said something, and then Lily's like, we have to do that for a podcast episode. No, I'm not kidding, please. And then before we started recording this, we couldn't think of what it was, but you're saying you remember it now.
It wasn't yesterday. It wasn't in Sydney. This was like days ago.
No, it was.
It was not.
It was, oh my God, we're not doing this again. Well, there was another one, which was yesterday.
Was there another one that was yesterday?
I literally remember exactly what happened. We were at a traffic light in Sydney. Okay, there's no other place that could look similar to that.
Never mind. Then I don't remember what we came up with yesterday. I remember what we came up with like 4 days ago.
What was that?
This one was even more unhinged, I think. But this was, we were at like the bus stop at the university or whatever, and we were like talking about the Seabat trend, and we were like, what characters would play the Seabat Reddit song? Remember when we were talking about that one?
Oh, I do remember this.
Yeah.
Oh, and who did we said it? We came up with some.
Yeah. For those of you who aren't aware, just look up like the Seabat Reddit on like TikTok, you'll figure
it out.
Or
you don't have to leave, I can just do it for you.
That's not even it, I don't know.
No. It's too elaborate.
Yeah.
How did that guy find the rhythm, honestly? Like,
yeah, I don't know. But that was a really another like crack.
It's one of those songs where you recognize it when you hear it, but you can't really recite it.
Anyway, that was a rather crackhead idea.
Well, that was one of them. As you can see, we covered another one. At least we remember this one. Maybe that's next episode. We came up with some people too. I remember we thought it was funny too.
I know.
Oh, we said Jace Herondale. I'm pretty sure Jace Herondale would be a Seabat guy.
Definitely Kale.
Oh, yeah. We did say Kale from the real. Yeah. So that's the first thing out of the way. Second thing out of the way is we went to Sydney and we went to a bookstore, and we just want to say that we had a vibing time at the bookstore.
We had a really good time, yeah.
Dimmicks has like one of the biggest bookshops that you can find in Australia. And I had never been to this before. It's like a 3-story bookstore. Yeah. The top story has I was told it was 5 stories. I don't know where that came from. I've heard from multiple sources that it's 5 stories, but it was 3 when we went. And the top story has a little cafe, overpriced as shit, but it's there. We got an orange juice and a lemonade. Cheapest thing on the menu. But the bookstore was sick, because the thing that's always so cool about going to massive bookstores is, one, we had this experience. I feel like the most similar bookstore we've been to, like the one we went to yesterday, was, I said that so weirdly. The bookstore most similar to the one we went to yesterday in Sydney was the one we went to in London.
The Piccadilly Circus.
Yeah, the Piccadilly Circus.
The Piccadilly Waterstones. That one was five stories.
That was five stories. But I felt like this was like Australia's version of the Piccadilly like Waterstones, because like if you go to Piccadilly Waterstones in London, like so many celebrities have been there. It's always like the place you go if a big author has a book tour, like they go to this bookstore. So hence you can find a lot of signed copies, a lot of fun activities. Like when we went, we got like Alice Oseman's signed Heartstoppers.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we went into this Dimmicks bookstore and there were so many like randomly signed books, and I was just mind blown because for me, signed books have been something that I have never really come across very easily.
I've only ever been able to like order signed books from like the USA. Like I've never found them really at like my home bookstores like in Canada or anything, but I can always order them from the US.
Yeah, but even then, at least you can order them. Like yeah. There has been so many signed books that Lily's like bought and I'm like, I'm gonna go buy that, and then it's like doesn't ship to Australia. So even yesterday we were at the bookstore, I was losing my mind over all these signed copies of books that I'm not even gonna read, but I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, she was freaking out. I'm like, you're never gonna read that book, Olivia.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't even know what the book is, like what it's about, but I'm just like, wow, like the author who wrote this like touched it with their hands and there's like a personalized note. Whoa. But actually did end up getting a signed book, and it was so crazy because it was signed by the author and it was the new however many story Treehouse book. It was, I think it's 164 he was up to at this point, or no, 156, I can't remember, not good with numbers. Anyway, it's like that series, the however many number Treehouse series.
The Treehouse books, like the, everyone probably remembers from like their childhood, like the...
I didn't realize it was a big thing overseas.
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah, because he's an Australian author, so we always like, we're like, slay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so I got that. Usually the book sold for like 16 to 20, but I got it signed for $10. And it came with a free joke book, which was like 300 pages long, which was so random.
Good deal. And I bought the new Allie Hazelwood book, the Love on the Brain one or whatever, because like I want to read that as like my next read or whatever. And it came with like a free lanyard that says like Love on the Brain on it, and it's like a really cute pink color, and it's so cute. I love my free little lanyard.
It's a sexy lanyard for her sexy STEM book. Ooh, we were talking about this earlier, but like Allie Hazelwood's brand is just teaching women that STEM girlies can be horny too.
Yeah,
like,
and for context, she literally looked my mom right in the eyes today and
you
said
say
that.
This as if I have heard you say like you and your mom's relationship is so open. That is so tame compared to the shit I've heard you two talk about together. Like, you literally had your mom read chapter 55 on a live stream, girly. Like, you exploited your mom.
She loved that, okay? It was her idea. She did it the one time that I requested. And then she wanted to keep doing it.
Yeah. And then she did, like, the Akawar chapters, too, didn't
no,
she?
No, not the Akawar. It's just, like, the other Akamath chapters. If you guys, like, knew my TikTok, like, back in the day, you got that lovely experience of watching my mom read the smutty scenes from Akawar.
Yeah. We just did an episode talking about how much we hated TikTok, but this was apparently a sprinkle of good moments in there. Yeah.
That was before it all went to shit.
So, yeah, literally do not come at me for being like, this is a horny STEM book.
No,
and
you know, I was just surprised that you said it to my mom more than anything.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I don't know what to take from that. Okay. Anyways, so, yeah, we went to Sydney. The thing is, when we went to Sydney, we, like, saw a K-pop. Oh, I should probably, before I go on about this really shows my priorities are, R.I.P. the Queen. I was about to go on and be like, when we went to Sydney, we also saw a K-pop dance group, but I'm like,
right across from the Queen's Memorial.
And anyway, we think we're on Sydney news. We don't watch the news, but like, yeah, we went to the Botanic Gardens, and then like all the flags were like half off, obviously paying respect to Lizzie. I gotta be careful, man. I'm trying to be careful. Lizzie, Elizabeth, her Majesty, the Queen, or yeah.
Just move on to the K-pop group.
We're just gonna talk about the K-pop group. Anyway, but they were Disney to Ive, Love Dive, if any of y'all know. Love that. Dan Ive. Anyway, but it was so fun getting to watch. And I saw them from like I'm so proud of the fact we were like a kilometer away. And I'm like, that's a K-pop dance group up there. And Lily was like, what? And then we went up closer. And there's just a way, like, K-pop girlies know that people who are doing a K-pop number, like, they dress a certain way, a certain style of look. And yeah, I'm so proud that I caught it in the flesh. Anyway, they killed it. And then a security guard came up and said, can you guys, like, move your dance elsewhere? Because we're, like, grieving right now. And I'm grieving, like, oh my queen. God. Anyway, yeah, just grieving the queen casually. And then this is super quick final thing. I counted how many podcast episodes we've done today.
Oh, really?
It didn't take long because it was just, you know, it was pretty easy.
Okay.
Guess how many podcast episodes we've done.
Okay, so it's been like 2 years.
It's been 2 years. We've taken some breaks and inconsistencies.
So, like, if we actually were good and did one episode a week for 2 years, that would be 104 episodes, but we haven't. And I don't really think there's been a lot of times we did more than one, so I'm going to say that's not going to cancel itself out. So I'm gonna guess. I'm doing math in my head. Give me a sec.
Just stamp go.
Like 90 or something?
You're good. 85.
Okay.
We got 85. I wanted to look it up because I've been listening to actually a lot of podcasts myself lately. And it was weird because I'm like podcaster and I'm like, I don't listen to podcasts. But
I don't listen to any podcasts ever.
You don't listen to any, at least. I actually listen to quite a few in comparison to Lily. Like, yeah. Like,
I don't listen to any.
I could drop some recs one day. But anyway, and a lot of them have been doing, like, 100 episode celebration. I'm like, where are we up to on that? Because, like, these podcasts started around the same time we did, I'm realizing. And I'm like,
yeah. Oh,
like, where are we going with that? So we've got 15 episodes until we're at 100 episodes. So
we'll have to think of some, like, really fun episode idea to, like, do or something.
We're so just going to accidentally skip that week. But sorry, guys. Not
busy times.
Knowing us, we'll skip that week and then we'll come back and be like, Olivia went to jail, story time. Olivia, like, vagina got speared on a fence in Paris or something. I'm just trying to channel the unhinged energy.
I see.
Also, I was semi referring to an actual story. Anyway,
that was a niece.
Yeah, I know.
I was confused.
Oh, right. I went Paris, then Venice, and it was actually Nice, my bad. Anyway.
Anyways, so the part of that story that was weird was the location.
Okay, we'll say that story at 100th episode. How about that? So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Okay, now I've given us some time. This has all just been me buying time to make us think of episodes.
I haven't been doing that.
Well, you dumb fucking bitch. I handed opportunity to you on a platter.
I was too busy listening to you, being an attentive co-host.
Maybe I'm just a captivating storyteller.
Yeah.
what I have to deal with, honestly. Anyways. Okay, you get to go first then. What would save you from Vecna?
What would save
me? We haven't
even
explained the fucking thing.
Well, you explain it.
Oh my god, I'm getting so tired. Anyway. So, there needs to be some context for this, I feel, because you can't just, like, read, you know, Vecna isn't just going to hand you, like, a copy of The Love Hypothesis by Ali Hazelwood, and then you're like, if only could. So, we need to put this into context. We were thinking, like, okay, so Stranger Things, we all know they're running up that hill scene, you know, Sadie Sink acted her ass off, the Emmy nomination was snubbed, we know. But if you're a book girly, and you're in a scenario where Lily would be in this scenario, because I'm thinking, like, if Lily got taken by Vecna, this bitch doesn't listen to anything, like, no music. Every time I'm in the car, I'm like, put on a song that you like. You're like, and she goes, I don't like music. And I'm like, what?
That is such a lie.
You don't have a favorite song, a favorite artist. You're not a fan of anything.
I just like having it in the background, you know?
That's psychotic. Anyway. Meanwhile, this me over here is, like, K-pop girly, like, you know, a bit of a Swiftie at times, you know, when she's not the number one cause of the planet dying. We love that. Anyway, but a bit controversial.
Moving on.
wouldn't be an episode without it. Yeah, and so I'm thinking, like, well, what would I do if Lily got taken by Vecna? You know what I'd do? I'd get fucking Audible. And I'd blast that shit. And it'd be like, you're my sister. He said, finally, my flesh, my blood. Like, Mortal Instruments, let's go. And I would use my credits for you. You should be happy about that.
Oh, wow.
That is an honor. I would use my Audible credit for you.
But you wouldn't pay, like, $14.99 for an audiobook. You'd be like, oh, shit, I don't have
one Audible credit costs, like, $16.
You'd be like, oh, damn, I don't have a credit this month. Anyway.
Yeah. I play the free sample. And then if you didn't like that, I'd be like, well, I did everything I could have. She's gone, you know, guys. It's wild in the Upside Down. Like, yeah. So, anyways, that's what this is. We're thinking book scenes where if the audible version was blasted on the speaker, we'd hear it in the Upside Down and we'd be like, I gotta go back. And we'd be running and sprinting to, like, this scene playing on audible. So here we go. Obviously in 2x speed because I cannot listen to anything in normal speed.
Yeah.
Okay. Go. Take it away.
Okay, this one's a bit hard because, like, normally, like, you'll probably hear us, like, in some other ones, like, I'll be like, spoiler warning for this book, probably I'm going to talk about this scene, maybe skip a few minutes because we're not going to talk about these for longer than like 2 minutes probably, really. But this one I can't really talk about because you also haven't read the book, but it is the first one that came to mind, so like, no spoilers because I can't say it, because I can't say it to Olivia. But like, the moment of like, at the end of like the If We Were Villains book by ML Rio, like that ending of that scene where everything kind of just, or that one scene where everything just came together, I guess, like in the story, like that's really all I can say, which is so unfortunate because I want to say so much more, but I can't say so much more. That scene.
Sorry. Anyway,
if Olivia would read the book, we could talk about it.
Oh my god. Fuck off.
We can't.
Like, I actually read a lot, you know. Like, I'm reading like 10 books at a time at all times.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm gonna go now. So I feel like there will be a lot of scenes from this like trilogy, but anyways, I'm gonna go with it. So the first one is The Infernal Devices, the scene from The Infernal Devices. And if you have not read The Infernal Devices, specifically the second book, Clockwork Prince, skip ahead and keep hope for the best. Sorry about that. But if you have, then you'll be able to relate when I say the scene where that whole like end of Clockwork Prince, honestly, where it's like, so Will's professing his love to Tessa, but Tess is accepting she's moved on from Will, and Jem proposes, and Jem and Tess are accepting the proposal. And Will comes just a little bit too late and is like, oh, and then it's like, Tessa, I love you. And Tessa's like, Jem just came in and proposed to me and I said yes. And then there's a whole scene where like, Will's like, I'm happy for you too. Like, that was just chef's kiss.
That writing at the end of Clockwork Prince, like, I don't know what Cassandra Clare, like, was in the water that day, but like the writing was just so top notch and
literally, and like the whole scene of Will like finding out he's not cursed and running through like London streets like getting to Tessa and whatever, but like little does he know Jem's present. Yeah, just very good scene there.
That was such a good scene. I would love to see that scene in like an adaptation, like the way that would be like edited with him, like him running while Jem is proposing at the same time, and it would keep flashing back to him like running.
There's so many dramatic like TikTok edit songs I can think of, you know, the one where it's like, I am lost.
Yeah,
my personal favorite. Yeah.
Seabass into the chat.
Seabass. The way you said that was so cool. You could add it if there was like a remix. If you're on a remix of Seabass, you'd be like Seabass. I'm turning into the me music. I'm realizing I'm going boom 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 boom. We need to stop. Okay, go.
I guess like kind of just going off that like Infernal Devices, like, because The Infernal Devices is a series I think that is like the very perfect example for this, because I don't think I've ever felt emotions as strong as like those few weeks that it took me to read those three books in that
The
series.
Infernal Devices, like, I will never, like, I love that trilogy, but Jesus Christ, the depression hole it put me in a day after. Like,
oh god, I
will not forget, like, genuinely that was toxic, that hole that Cassandra Clare put me in the day after I finished Clockwork Princess. Yeah.
And then so going off of that, like, Clockwork Princess, like, major spoilers for Clockwork Princess, I don't know what else you want me to say about that. The book came out like 12 years ago, so I don't really know what else I meant to do at this point.
It's your fault if you're an uncultured swine.
Uncultured swine who hasn't read Shadowhunters.
It's not our fault if you're not a hot girl like us. sorry.
Yeah. Stop.
It's not our fault you can't be a cool kid. Drawing the Parabatai runes on them.
Wanting to get a Parabatai rune tattooed with your best friend when you're...
God.
Yeah. Anyway.
We are not getting a Parabatai rune.
Oh, absolutely not.
We're on the same page.
But if I had read that book when I was like... It's honestly, thank God I didn't get into the Mortal Instruments when they were coming out. Because me at 12 would have wanted that. Like, right beside my Divergent collarbone tattoo.
Oh,
like,
with God. Like, you would have been like, I'm in Dauntless. And I have a Parabatai.
No, not even a Parabatai. I would have got, like, the one that's, like, the rune for, like, the sight. Which is just the most horrific rune ever.
Isn't that, like, the angelic rune?
Yeah. It's, like, the one, the first one that they get or whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Besides the point. Really, we're just giving you guys time to skip if you haven't already. If you haven't, this is your fault. We've given you so much time. But, like, the scene where, like, Will is eating at the pub and then he feels Jem's death. Like, the emotions I felt during that scene was, like, too much for me to handle. Here's
the thing. That scene was sad, but I couldn't get over the fact that, like, he was grieving, then all of a sudden, like, he was just getting beat up by these werewolves. And I'm like, where did this come from? Where did this energy
happen? He was kind of getting beat up by the werewolves, but, like, he started the fight with them on purpose.
That's right.
He started the fight with them on purpose because he wanted them to kill him because he didn't feel like he had any, like, point left of living. Yeah. A little bit sad.
That's so gay.
That's so gay.
Wanting to die for your lover. Straight men would just like, oh, I'll get another one.
Jesus Christ.
There's tighter pussies out there. Like, they would. They would.
Anyway.
We're going to have to bleep that out. Hold on. What's the timestamp?
I'm not editing that out. 21:37.
It's your week to edit.
I'm not editing out your weird unhinged crackhead things that you say. That's on you.
37, okay.
That's on you.
I feel like I'm like time of death. Oh, probably can't talk about time of death this week. Yikes. Anyway, I'm deaf for Olivia's bussy. 21:37.
You said too many controversial things for me to edit out this week. You're just going to have to get cancelled again.
I've lost count. Add it to the tally, man. All this, and I'm not a racist or a homophobe. Wow, you know the bare
that
minimum.
That's so true.
Yeah. I'm like, I did this without saying the N-word once. Like, wow. It's almost impressive the more creative ways I've gotten cancelled.
Anyway, but the scene where Will is
11th
just
time getting cancelled, this conversation. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm taking the microphone away.
Well, anyway, like when Will just like runs out into the grass and it's like raining and he like he watches the Parabatai rune like disappear like off of his body. And like at this point, I still think Jem is dead. Okay, you see, I was still in the dark about the whole dealio.
Double spoiler alert, in case even if you were halfway through Clockwork Princess, yikes. Anyway.
If you're halfway through Clockwork Princess and I was like, major spoilers for Clockwork Princess, and you're like, it was probably from the first half, I'm probably safe. You know what? That's a you problem.
I would have done that. I have a superiority complex. Like, if I'm halfway through a book and it's like, I basically feel like I've already read it. You know what I mean?
But everything happens at the end.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing happens in the first half ever.
Toxic. I'm working on it, okay?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so I still thought he was dead. I literally remember, like, this scene totally would have brought me back from, like, Vecna or whatever, because I still remember my mom, like, trying to do laundry at, like, 11 p.m., I remember. This was, like, during, like, COVID time still, so everyone was, like, at home. So it's, like, 11 p.m., she's, like, trying to do laundry, and I'm laying on the laundry room floor, just, like, I'm like, Mom, you don't understand what I just read.
Like, you're just, like, listening to Conan Gray, like, on repeat.
Yeah.
If Super 8 was out, we all know that you would have just lied on the tiles on the bathroom floor and would have been like, scattered across my family line. We do compilation every time we break into song this episode. It's out of hand. We're gonna change the genre to like musical. You know what I mean? Like, honestly.
You give us a microphone and we're like, oh, singing time.
Yeah. We're just gonna like get a record deal from this. Or do like,
I'm sure.
Republic Records. Ooh, oh, 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 yeah. This could be all yours.
Okay, your turn to say a scene.
Oh, could I have anything? I'm lost.
I'm lost. Anyway. What have you cried during?
So many things.
I know.
My parents' divorce.
Oh my god. What book scenes have you cried during?
I got the question the first time.
Yeah.
Okay, but just because I cried doesn't mean that that's going to bring me back from Vecna, because like... Oh.
The emotions aren't strong enough.
No, like sadness is just, I feel sadness every day. When I look in the mirror. I'm trying to think, okay? I'm trying to think of feelings and what they feel like. go again.
Okay. Well, I was expecting to think when you were going, but...
I know. I'm so sorry. Okay, I know. So, like, a really powerful scene was, like, the whole final battle in Kingdom of Ash. You know, no, Queen of Shadows. I'm gonna do that.
Okay.
By Sarah J Maas, like, in the Throne of Glass series. Like, that whole final battle. Better yet, remember that ship scene where, like, Sandra is just, like, the Loch Ness Monster for
Isn't
no reason?
Isn't that Empire Storms?
Sure, yeah, they all blend together. Yeah, in Empire's films, in the ship scene, Lysandra's just literally like a giant ocean lizard thing. They've been a lot. Like, maybe that, because I saw that and I was like, wow, that's girl power right there.
That is feminism.
Yeah, female lizards, get it, girl. Water lizards, rawr. And also the last, like, final battle. I don't know, I preferred that, actually, Empire's films theme.
So did I. It's just because the final battle, like, there wasn't really one scene for it, because it was basically what the whole book centered around, was, like, the final battle a little bit.
Actually, I'll just specific scene. The main, like, Alid's, like, plan, I'm trying not to spoil it too much, like, when that all started getting in action, like, Alid was like, I got an idea.
In which book? The last
Kingdom one? Of Ash. Kingdom of Ash. Remember when Alid was like, I got a plan, and that's when, like, the clone, like, the shape-shifting really started going into effect, and then we thought, like, one person was doing something, but it was another, and then, like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to keep it spoiler-free, which is amazing that I'm doing this feat. Yeah. But, like, Kingdom of Ash battle scene from, like, Alid's plan, from Alid being like, I have a plan. Because Aelin's plans were just never as top-tier, let's face it.
Aelin's plans were always just her committing suicide to get out of making any more plans.
Aelin's plans were suicide plans, honestly.
And everyone just had to talk her out of it.
And she always just wanted to go out with such a bitch. Her plans were always just her being like, time to do my ultimate sacrifice. Yeah. And everyone's like, and no!
Also from, like, that book, like, the whole, like, Dorian's, like, Morath plan or, like, wherever, where he went to, like, get the keys from, like, the queen.
I was too dumb. I didn't get it.
You didn't get it. Okay.
I just had this memory where he's like a woman.
No, not at that part.
Okay.
That was just for sexy time.
Oh, God.
You're missing the whole point.
No wonder that couple was your bi awakening. Because, like,
you leave me alone.
Wow. You really finished Throne of Glass and was like, Manon and Dorian are my favorite couple. And it was like, you saw Manon with, like, Dorian as, like, a man and a woman. And you were just like, no, but I'm straight.
Anyway.
So you attacked me for my book, so I'll attack you for the closet being glass. I'll give you a little squeegee and, like, make it clearer. Get the smog off.
You know, for the closet being glass, you never once called me out on it when I was still there.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
It's not your place, when it's not your place.
I would have allowed it.
Okay. But I still would have been a bitch.
I would have allowed it. Anyway.
Your turn. See, I gave you two.
Yeah. But I also added on with the Morath scene or whatever, because... I did understand that scene, and I love that scene, that segment of the novel. Anyway, but another one. I think just honestly, if you gave me, like, anything from Heartstopper, I would probably just, like, wake up from being like, oh my god, that is so cute, I love it. Like,
the scene specifically would be, just banter me.
Just banter me.
No, you know what it would be on a serious note? It'd be like, would you kiss someone who's not a girl? That whole scene? And just be like,
because there's so many, like, that, like, the... when people ask me to describe like the like Heartstopper franchise to them, it's just me like, because I read like all four like comics in like one day, plus like the Nick and Charlie novella, because they're all just so short and quick to read, right? It was literally just me in my college dorm room. I remember procrastinating studying for exams, I think. Like,
nothing's changed.
Nothing has changed. You're so right.
That, from last year to this year, there's been zero character development.
And I remember, like, actually, I'm not going to say that.
What the fuck?
Like, you know what? I will.
Cause you have to now.
Well, you see, this is when, like, my depression was at its worst and nothing was making me happy.
You think that that's bad? I literally just a few minutes ago was like, I wake up sad every day when I look in
that's
the mirror.
That's so true. I forgot about that. That's the energy of this episode.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call, like, mental health support on us or something.
Don't worry. We're working on it. And if you're struggling with mental health too, reach out. Stop. It gets better. We're still waiting for it to get better, but we're sure it's there at the top.
Anyway.
People are going to be like, mental health role models? Like, no, it's serious. If you're depressed or... I can't say it in like a sarcastic voice. Sorry. If you're depressed or anxious, please call 1-300. No, I'm kidding. No, but seriously, if you do have bad mental health, like, you know, reach out. Anyway, find a psychologist. Even though they're a bunch of money and capitalism sucks, but if you can, use your connections because they're helpful. And then also, yeah, I was going to say drugs, but no, the good drugs, okay? Like the drugs that, but I was like, I'll leave that up to the psychologist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mental health, the role models. This is what happens when you try and get serious.
This is what happens when I let you talk for too long uninterrupted.
I'm so sick and tired of it. I again.
Anyway, but yeah, like I was like so sad and I literally sat down for one day, college dorm room, like I sat down one day, read all the Heartstopper books and literally just like every like five pages, I was going like, oh my God, so cute. Like literally like every five pages, like, I was like, this is adorable.
You're like, what is this feeling of warmth?
Yeah. I'm like, that's how I always like try to describe the Heartstopper books. I'm like, they feel warm. No, like they're so they just cozy. Feel comforting.
And even like the show, like it, that's really what it encapsulated so perfectly for me. I'm like, look, even though it's not fully like accurate to the books at times, I'm like, I don't care. Cause the whole like cozy vibe is still there. And it just feels like a warm of hot like cocoa on a winter's English day. And I'm like, that is the vibe that I want to strive for.
So like, good. If you like awakened me or like if you were like trying to like awaken me or whatever and you like gave me a scene from like the Heartstopper books, I'd have to like wake up to be like, oh my God, that was adorable.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do a scene from The Atlas Stick by Olivier Blake.
Oh, yeah.
The Tristan aiming Libby scene.
Ah, I knew it was going to be that one.
So for those who aren't aware of what the book series is, it is a series, but only the
second
first
book is coming out so soon. I'm so excited. Also, guys, sorry, like just to interrupt, but like one of my favorite things about having this podcast is besides like the obvious that like I like recording it and we've obviously done 85
episodes.
I mean,
clearly. Ooh, okay, you have to do it with me. And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three, shoo, bop.
Ready?
Ooh, yeah. Okay, now you may go.
One of my favorite parts of having this podcast is that like we did an episode on the Atlas Six like a little while ago, and I don't really remember what happens in the Atlas Six, to be honest. And the second one's gonna come out, and do I want to reread it? No, because I don't have time for that. So I'm just gonna go back and listen to our like 1 hour podcast episode of us talking about the Atlas Six.
Oh, you
remind me.
I can't. Well, here's the thing. I can listen to us at a limit. Like,
yeah, me too. Like, I can kind of listen to, like, our recaps, because, like, they're pretty tame, I guess. Or, like, if we're just talking about, like, a book being, like, what we liked, what we didn't like, stuff like that. Like, I can listen to us do that. I can't listen to, like, episodes like this one that are just so unhinged.
Opinionated. Like, you're like, oh, personality.
Yeah. But, like, even when we did, like, the Crescent City recap or whatever... Like, when the third one comes out, I'm fully intending to listen to those two episodes we did about Crescent
City.
Which
is so ironic, because we literally said at the start of this episode that these are the types of episodes that people tend to prefer.
Yeah.
But, so, really, it's just us hating ourselves is what we're... Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
That laugh wasn't like comical enough. You were like, oh, too real. You're too close home. Oh, God.
Okay, carry on. Your Atlas 6 scene. Yes.
Yeah, my Atlas 6. So for those who don't know the book series, I describe it as basically like Squid Game meets like, I'm sorry, you have a piece of fluff on your cheek. Okay, go on. It was just so chunky and chonky on your cheek. Like, I couldn't handle it anymore.
Okay.
Anyway. So, as I was saying, yeah, I describe it as, like, Squid Game meets... I don't even know what I would say. Like, it's, like, magic-y, brainy, dark academia.
It's also just basically, like, if the library of, like, Alexandria or whatever I think it is, like, didn't burn down, basically, is what the book is.
Is that a real thing?
It was, yeah.
Library of Alexandria.
That library that it's, like, set at, like, was an actual thing.
But really?
But it burned down. The whole premise of the book is, like, what would have happened if it didn't burn down?
I didn't realize that that was a real place.
I'm pretty sure it is.
No, I don't doubt it, but I'm just like, oh, was there, like, a library full of all the knowledge in the world or whatever?
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, it's like that, but, like, magic. And also a little bit, like, yeah. Survivalist. Like, last man standing a bit. Anyway, but it's a cool scene because they all have to kind of work together and there's lots of sexual tension. Anyway, there was a point where somebody had to aim someone else.
Yeah, the library was in Egypt back in like...
I was thinking it would be like an Egypt museum because like they knew how to do a bunch of stuff. And
yeah, so basically the whole premise of the Atlas 6 is like, what if that library didn't get burned down and that knowledge wasn't all lost back?
I think being Egyptian, like descendant of Egyptian, is like the coolest thing you could be, honestly.
There's a lot of history there for sure.
So much history. Like they're just, and yeah, imagine being a part of a heritage so powerful that like white people refuse to admit you were real humans. They're like, so many white people, like Egyptians were aliens. It's the only
example. The only explanation.
It's the only explanation why people of color could be smart. Like, oh my God. Literally. It's just like so bad.
To clarify, she's not saying that. She's saying that other people's.
No. Similar. Oh my God.
I'm just trying to clarify.
See, this is why I could never do an episode about myself. Because then I'd be like, yeah.
No one would clarify your story. No.
And then
I'd
be like, Olivia confirmed, like, you're racist.
No, she's saying that other racists think that.
Yeah, no, literally. But like, I'm saying that all the like conspiracy theorists, don't think conspiracy theorists, I think actual organizations have come out and been like, we're investigating whether the Egyptians were actually aliens, when they just kind of accept that maybe like they were smart.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so stupid. Anyway.
Anyway, yes.
In conclusion, coolest thing to be. Book scene that would get me my feels. I'm just gonna keep going down this.
It's my turn now. You just said one.
What did I say?
The Atlas 6.
Oh. There you go.
I'm gonna jump back on the Shadowhunters train because that's like the only thing that's like elicited emotions from me in the last like while. Anyway. And this is like not spoilers because Olivia hasn't read this yet either, so I'm gonna keep it spoiler free. But it's from like the Queen of Air and Darkness last Dark Artifices book. It kind of like it's the Kit and Tai scene near the end. Like if you read the book, there's only one possible option that I could be talking about, and that's all I'm gonna say about that.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna keep going down like this like spicy road that I'm going on because I'm realizing. That seems to be what?
What spicy road are you going down?
Oh, I'm not gonna be like, oh my God, guys. That like from Blood and Ash scene. Oh, great. No,
absolutely. Where they fuck on the forest floor.
They fuck on the. No, the worst one is. No, I'm not even gonna say it. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Anyways. But by spicy, I mean the one that. I don't mean that bad. I just mean the Romeo and Juliet makeout scene from These Violent Delights where she's got the gun and he like leans into it. Anyway.
That scene was great.
Anyway, I won't give much else to that. Just that would be really great.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be more if Beckner had me in his clutches and then you started playing that on like on audiobook form, I would just be like, oh, what the fuck? What's that here? Like, what's that playing here?
I'd be like, wow. Yeah. Like,
Okay, I'm gonna ask you a question. What's a scene that I could play for you and you would start like quoting it, like word for word, you know?
Ooh, I could start quoting it word for, like, if you were to start it and I could like finish it off, sort of thing.
Like, if we're thinking dramatic form, like I'm playing a song, not a song, that's the whole point of this podcast. It's not a song. I'm playing like an audio book on the loudspeakers, and then you know, dramatic style, Vecna's with his little tentacles, got you all tied up on the pole. And then you're just like, tears start running down your face, and then you're like, my sister, you said fuck.
I could finish that quote off. I do know that entire quote by heart, just because of all the jokes we've made about it.
Yeah, but would it spark like a little montage of our friendship? Maybe that's what would save you, our friendship. And the power of Jace Herondale and incest.
But like another scene that I think I could like fully quote, that's like so hard. Because I definitely know that they're there.
Well, even just like little lines, like big quotes. Like tiny, not big quotes, tiny quotes.
I could definitely quote like so many of like Julian Blackthorne's like, you'd pronouncing like, his love scene.
If my heart were a canvas
every square inch of it would be painted with you.
Yeah, so maybe I'll just play that scene then. Take mental note. Yeah.
I could definitely like finish that one off. Like
something not Shadowhunters related.
I was just about to say, like, I definitely think like, I think that this just, like, I didn't even read this one a lot, but I think just because of, like, you know how, like, the psychological phenomena that, like, you remember traumatic things, like, better? Like, scenes that cause, like, a large amount of emotion.
Yeah.
You remember it better. Yeah. Like, I think that one scene from, like, Kingdom of Ash where, like, Aelin gets rescued and she's, like, screaming while they're trying to get, like, the chains off of her. Like, I could quote that scene, I think, just because, like, and, like, even, like, what, like, the side characters, like, thoughts were. Just because, like, it stuck in my brain so much because I was so traumatized by it.
You know what I think about, weirdly, when you bring up the Aelin thing, the Aelin scene? You know that Emma Stone, Graham Norton story where with Ryan Gosling where she's, like, they were filming that Dirty Dancing lift and then she thought about, like, how, like, her gymnast held her up at 7 feet, then dropped her, and she broke both her arms. Then she looked like a possum coming out of a tree. And Ryan Gosling, like, lifted her up. And then she had to take, like, 3 hours to herself. And she went in her dressing room and just watched, like, Labyrinth, and everyone was like, y'all good? And it was just like, I don't know why, but I just thought of that. Like, that's what everyone was thinking in that moment. Like, you're like, because the side characters thought they were just, reacting, I imagine, how the cast members were reacting to Emma Watson, not Emma Watson, Emma Stone, on the set of Crazy Stupid Love. Anyway.
What scene could you quote, like, word for word?
It's funny that you asked that, because I was just thinking, Cardin's Letters, I could quote those.
Oh, I could quote Cardin's Letters. Yeah. I forgot the Cruel Prince existed for a second there.
Honestly, yeah, I could quote so many, like, Cardin quotes, honestly.
Yeah.
But I guess mainly the letters. Also the one where it's really, mainly the quote where we're being like, I think of you often. It disgusts me. Like, this is one of those. Just can't believe I listened to that. What does that say about me? I listen to that quote and go, oh, romance. It disgusts me. Anyway. But mainly the letters, just like, if you're angry, like, come home and be angry with me or something like that. Right.
Come be angry at a near distance.
Yeah.
And he was like, please, like, I'm begging you to, like, come home or whatever, like, those scenes. Unfortunately, I do think I can just, like, quote a lot of ACOTAR scenes as well, just because I think that, like, TikTok just, like, pushed that down our throats, like, way back when that was really big. Like,
his growls of pleasure
drowned out the sound of the injured and dying.
Oh, I know one. Twilight. Hold on tight, spider monkey. Where the hell have you been, loca? Oh, I can't believe we haven't done anything from the Hunger Games yet.
Oh, true. I think they just whole, like, I love, like, the Capitol interview scenes. Like, I feel like or when they went on, like, the,
yeah,
like, any of those scenes, especially,
like, I can quote the Joanna, like, thing where they're, yeah, like, you seem angry. I'm angry. The deal was that if I win the Hunger Games, I get to live the rest of my life in peace. But now, you want to kill me again.
Well, fuck that! Yeah. And then the whole, like, Peter Mallark thing, even down to, like, the pauses between the words. Like, when he's like...
Oh, God, I'm not mad at that.
Like, when he's like,
I was like on the same boat with you in terms of like mental illness, but then you went like a little bit step further and I'm like, oh, I'm not on that level.
It's so, why she's on the higher dose of the antidepressants, I see.
Oh god.
Anyway, but like,
yeah, do we have young listeners? Like, not anymore.
I hope not. But yeah, when he's like, well, if it weren't for what, Peter?
Oh, this scene. I can do this scene. Yeah. I thought you meant like the capital, like after he's been track and jacked or whatever.
Oh,
you
know?
I was like, I don't remember those.
No. Like, you know, and then he's like, well, if it weren't for,
okay, well, went for what, Peter?
Well, if it weren't for, and then he's like, you're missing it. You're messing up your life.
Oh, sorry.
He's like, go on. Like,
oh, yeah,
like,
go on.
And he's like, if it weren't for the baby.
Baby!
Yeah. Yeah, like that whole interaction. And then Katniss's face where she's like,
Peter, you're pregnant?
Yeah, that whole thing.
Hamish giving his little cheers. Being like,
and then Hamish over. Being like, that baby bomb was a stroke of genius.
Oh my god. She's just going to keep going quoting the whole movie.
The whole movie.
Yeah. Oh,
just Catching Fire.
Honestly, Catching Fire is such a masterpiece. I was actually thinking a scene from Mockingjay, though.
Mm.
When she does the arrow at, like, President Coin, President Snow. Like, that's badass, you know?
Also, like, the scene that, like, always comes to my mind that I always get, like, there's, like, two scenes from, like, Mockingjay that I always get, like, chills from. Like, both from Mockingjay Part 1. I feel like Mockingjay Part 1 does have some really good scenes that, like, talked about. Like, when they bomb the hospital. And then, like, she goes in, and that's when she finally accepts her role as the Mockingjay or whatever, because she was kind of, like, not really, she's like, I can't talk to them, I can't rally the people, this can't be me. And then they send her in, and they bomb this hospital. And then she just, like, goes on, like, a full rampage. Like, that scene gives me chills every single time, like, I watch that. Like, I'm like, it's just
Is that the,
so
like,
good.
If we burn, you burn with us?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, that's a good one. And then also, like, when they have, like, all the tributes kind of, like, go on air because they're trying to, like, block the signals of, like, so the cat, when they're trying to go in and rescue, like, PETA and the rest of them and stuff. Like, when, the, so they all go in, like, Finnick goes on and he, like, tells his story. And then, like, it was better in the books because, like, you actually saw, like, more of it.
Yeah,
like, you saw all their talking in the movie. It was kind of just, like, kind of brief. But, like, when they're all going up there and, like, telling their stories, like, that scene also is, like, very chilling as well.
Yeah, when he's like, don't you think I know that your friends are in the Capitol right now? I'm like,
yeah, that whole section, like, it's just chills. That would, like, wake me up from my...
Yeah. Oh, Suzanne Collins really slayed with that theory. She was, like, lights flickering.
The rent was due.
She had one chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the trouble with that is we were clearly talking about scenes from the movie just then, so we'd be like, what chapter was that?
You'd be like trying to find it on Audible, you'd be like, fuck!
It'd be like, chapter one, Gail gives me bread.
No! We're losing her!
Yeah. You just start, like, floating in the air. I'm like, no! No, the free sample stops with, like, Gail gives me a slice of bread. Where did you get this? Download Audible. Oh, upgrade premium subscription. I'm like, well, I tried, man.
Okay, like, so what? Like, I'm like in this position. You're the one who has to like choose the scenes for me. It can't be one that I already said. Like, which one you'd be like, I have one shot at this. Oh. What are you? You're opening up your Audible. What are you gonna play?
Currently, I don't have any of those books downloaded.
It's a very hypothetical situation, clearly.
No, I would say, so that wouldn't be great in this situation.
I was going to say, I need to get someone else
here,
in here
just,
to help me
out. We're just
going to
pretend like I'm coming up with it on the spot. I'm going to hope for the best. I'm going to go with if my heart was a canvas, every experience would be painted with you. No, actually I wouldn't. You know why? Because I feel like you only really know one line from that, like, realistically. So if I want something consistently that you know lots of lines from, well, I'd probably do, like, either the Capitol interview scenes or, like, Cardin's letter, because it seems like you know multiple lines from that, so you'd recognize them and be like...
Yeah. Fair.
Okay, what about you for me?
Well, I'm going to do one that you haven't already said.
Oh.
So, I think, like, if I was, like, trying to get one for you, I think I would play, like, any, like... badass, like Aelin doing anything badass, because I think he would just wake up to be like, and you see, I really resonated with that scene because I actually, I don't know if you know, but I see some of myself in Aelin. You see, I tried to order a little fake, what did you try to order off of Amazon?
Like,
a little
knife set. Crazy. I tried to order a butterfly, so it wasn't even an actual butterfly knife, it was a comb in place of a knife, so you could just practice the flipping aspect of it.
It was inspired by Aelin, and that was enough.
I mean, kind of, but also I just was seeing lots of people online flipping around their little knives, and I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah, but if I did play an Aelin scene, you would wake up just to like tell me and be like, and you see, this scene really changed me as a person at the time that I was reading the series, because it inspired me. And I would be like, yeah, see, there she is. She's back. She's back. Oh, God.
A bit of a scene.
Hmm.
So, this is a Legendborn scene.
Okay.
By Tracy Dion. And anyway, I don't think this was spoilers. Kind of just gives away that like, who's in the love triangle, but you figure that out pretty quick. So
it's, like, really obvious from, like, chapter one.
Yeah, there's, like, a ballroom scene where she's dancing with, Breeze, dancing with, like, Belle, and then also dancing with, like, Nick as well.
Oh.
I love ball. Okay, if there's a love triangle and she's swapping like partners in a ballroom dance, I love that niche.
That's such a niche trope, but I love it.
I love it every time. It's so good. Oh, it's just so great. And each of them's like explaining like what their futures could be with her and whatever, just like coincidentally. And, you know, so great. Anyway. So I would just say that thing. I vibed with it.
You reminded me when you talk about like balls and stuff.
Yeah,
spoilers for Chain of Gold. Like, this is actually spoilers for Chain of Gold. If you haven't read Chain of Gold yet and you want to, just stop listening right now and skip a little bit. But like that final scene of like, not like final scene, but one of the last scenes of like Chain of Gold, when like Cordelia like bailed out James by being like, he was with me. And then in front of like all the council and everything, and then they like basically ended up having to be like, and we're engaged. Like, it was just so like shocking. Like, that one brought up the emotion shock in me. Like, I don't think I've ever been more surprised while reading. Like, yeah. I was like, okay, what the hell is going on? Like,
you'd like slap back Vectrum across the face because you're like, wait a damn minute, what happened next? I forgot. I need to go back.
Wait. Yeah, that whole scene, like, that would probably get me back alive, because I would just be reminded of how shocked and surprised I was while I was reading it.
You know what I'd actually do? So the last chapter in like I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy, I would do that chapter. Like, that would be a good chapter for me, because in the last chapter of like Jeanette McCurdy's like book, it's really, she goes ahead and she recaps like her mom. She basically summarizes like the whole book's trying to navigate her relationship with her mom, and then inevitably she ends up at a place where it's like, I'm glad my mom died, like, kind of, but also kind of not, like, you know. And anyway, she just does a really great job. The whole last chapter is just her like summarizing her relationship with her mom, and she does it in such a beautiful way, and it's also such a powerful like piece of literature, because you read about her life throughout the whole book, and she does a really good job at immersing yourself to the point where you're like, man, I didn't even know how like you're gonna get out of this, you know what I mean? Like, how are you gonna like make a life for yourself after this, you know what I mean? Or even make a life for yourself like beyond this, I suppose. And in the last chapter, like, it's just really her being like, I'm gonna be okay. And it's just such a good chapter, I think, for like that type of moment where a theoretical tentacle man is holding me hostage, because I'd be like, all odds are against me, the rent is due, the lights are flickering, the life is on the line, I got one chance. And I feel like if I started hearing that chapter, I'd just be like, I'm gonna be okay. Anyway, I'm gonna go kick you in the balls now, Vector. I'm gonna run. I'm only good. We could deal with God. Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe I haven't said this yet.
Yeah.
But if you just gave me, like, this is so easy for you if I'm ever in this situation.
Mm.
Literally, you could pick me any chapter from any V.E. Schwab book that I've read, and I would probably come back for that. I'd be like, this is a great chapter.
I always feel like... No, you know how I'd get you back? I'd just play like If We Were Villains chapter, anyone, and you'd be like, you started If We Were Villains and didn't tell me?
I'd be like, what are your thoughts? Give me the rundown.
No, literally, you'd be like, where's the review?
Out of five?
Yeah, out of five.
It's like what you do with like music all the time. Like she's always like, out of 10 with dot points. That's like me with like every like chapter of a book she reads. I'm like, out of 10 with dot points, go.
Yeah.
I don't get the dot points.
No, you just get an essay of a Goodreads review when I'm done.
When she's done. 1 year later.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was going down something. What was my rabbit hole before this? I was, like, saying a book for me. And then I was like, wait, I have a great idea. You know how I'd get you back?
Maybe. You would get me back by playing any chapter of If We Were Villains. And then I'd wake up and be like, you started If We Were Villains?
No, I know. But before that, I was about to start something.
I don't know.
Because this is my point exactly, because it's only when I bring up If We Were Villains you're like, wait, what about If We Were Villains?
Well, I don't remember because we said so many things since then, but before that I was saying that if you gave me any V.E. Schwab book,
I remember chapter, thank you for yeah. that. I always underestimate your like obsession with V.E. Schwab, if that makes, like, yeah, how much you like V.E. Schwab.
Oh,
because here's the thing, I've only read The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue and thought of so many more. I have like three to the list. Okay. But
I was like, something's happening behind those eyes.
Yeah, I just thought of so many. I was it. You know, just like when the so like the whole bite. I felt like a That's So Raven scene when she has a vision or something, and I was just like, you can stand in the future. Yeah. Anyway, add it to the tally of how many times I've broken into song this episode. But yeah, I never hear about you. Like I hear about your V.E. Schwab love. But then I have only read The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, so you can't really talk about it with me a lot. I can't
talk about it.
And here's the thing. I feel like you loved, like, The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, but you, like, love her other books more, I would say.
The Darker Shades of Magic is definitely, like, my favorite from her, like, 100%.
Yeah. And so you can't talk to that to me about that. So it's like I see it from a distance, but I don't fully understand it until moments like these where I'm, like, reminded, oh, she actually really likes Beach Bomb, I feel like.
I do.
Yeah. Because, like, you follow her blog and everything, like, continuously.
Her newsletter.
Yeah, newsletter. See, I didn't even know. Newsletter.
Her newsletters are so detailed. She gives, like, everything. But anyway, that's besides the point.
Yeah. You go. Yeah.
If you played me any scene from A Darker Shade of Magic, I would be like, slaps. Like, what a good scene. Like, I would have loved it. Yeah. That would get me up. And, like, Vicious as well. There's a lot of really good scenes in Vicious.
All I can think about is that Sabrina Carpenter song when you say Vicious. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. And what are your three that you just came up with?
Oh, well, it sent me down a rabbit hole because I don't know what made me think of it, but I thought of that. I was like, I can't believe I haven't said, like, Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo yet, you know what I mean? And there's so many things of just, like, the whole finding out, like, the truth of why Evelyn chose Monique to interview her. Also, the... Don't chip your tooth on a TV screen, that yeah. whole scene. Like, I thought that was wholesome. And then that sent me down the rabbit hole of, like, oh, well, then if Seven Husbands of Hugo, like, Daisy Jones and the Sick, like, the whole ending pretty much yeah. from the author's note. And
the author's note coming in.
The author's note will wake me up because I'll be like, oh, it's about to get good. So yeah. I'm about to cry.
I'm going to cry.
Yes. And then I can't remember what my third one.
But you haven't read any other Taylor Jenkins Reid's books, so it wouldn't no, have been on
it
wasn't. That line.
No, it wasn't Taylor Jenkins Reid's book. It was probably something else. Oh, probably just the epilogue of, like, the last bit of The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue, where, like, just being like, I'm gonna play the long, right? Yeah,
that was such, like, a good final thing, like, last page.
Yeah, such a good thing.
Really. I feel like V.E. Schwab always, she does such a great job with, like, her first and last pages, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because even, like, the first page of The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue is, like, really good. like when it's like the girl's running for her life or whatever, that's like a really good first page.
Mm-hmm.
And even like in The Shades of Magic, like I love how she started out with like getting right into it. They're like, oh, Kel is a time traveler with like multiple different coats for all the different worlds he travels to. I'm like, she just does such like a good job of drawing you in to be like, what the fuck, like I need to find out more.
Via Strong's really good at first and last pages. And you know who else is, I hate to say it, but like Colleen Hoover's plays her first pages. Like every first page of Colleen Hoover's I've read is like a really strong first page. Yeah
It's, but this is a bit off topic, but I do feel like she usually takes the easy way out on a first page. Like it's enticing, but if you actually look at them, it's the same thing every time, just slightly different.
It is,
it's always to do with someone dying.
Yeah.
And I remember because I took like a creative writing class, whatever, and Olivia would obviously know a lot better than me because she's actually a creative writing student. But I remember in my creative writing class, I remember like because I wrote a story about someone and then they died at the end, and we had the opportunity to redo it for like a workshop, and that was also another assignment. And I actually got told by my professor to not kill the character, because if you kill someone at, like, the beginning or at the end, it's just the easy way out to get people intrigued in, like, your story. Like, killing someone is such an easy way out. So you notice that the Colleen Hoover, like, her first pages are so intriguing, but it's because it's always the exact same thing. Like, it ends with us. It starts with her, like, contemplating suicide and talking about how her dad just died. Same thing.
Ugly Love is, like, you've been stabbed in the neck. You've been
stabbed in the neck.
Verity,
someone literally gets run over by a car and their head pops off on the first page. Like, it's always very similar. It's always the same, and it's always someone. I mean, not in every one of her books, because she has a lot of her books, but a lot of those, like, first pages you're referring to, it's because, like, because I remember I thought the same thing, too. I'm like, but they're so good. But then I was like, eventually after reading, like, my fourth Colleen Hoover book or something, I was like, I've read this before. What is happening? And I realized that they all start with the exact same thing, pretty much.
Yeah, but if you read a little bit further, you'll find the gorgeous but without that gripping, you stab me in the neck, Lily. We never would have been intrigued to keep reading to you, and we both laughed about our son's big balls. I mean, where would I have found that content anywhere else?
You didn't even read that book.
I know. I just like to rub it in because I'm superior, because I didn't read that book, even though Lily was like, you got to read that book, Olivia.
That book had such like a weird grip, because it was like one of those ones that you read in like a day. And, like, it felt so, like, intriguing at the time. But then as soon as you, like, stepped away from it, you're like...
So every popular really book weird. Talk book, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. It was very much
like... No, I feel like you can sum up popular book talk books like amazing writers, but, like, mediocre plot.
Yeah.
I have no doubt Colleen Hoover is a great writer. Like, I don't doubt that. I mean, she's the one with millions of dollars, not me. So.
Very true.
Although you can't really define a good writer by how much money they have, because then that would mean like Kylie Jenner and Kendall Jenner could be like technically the best authors of all time, because they wrote a book and they make more money than any other author out there. So
very true.
But yeah. Well, I think honestly, unless you can think of anything off the top of your head, we can probably wrap it up.
We can wrap it up. Okay. Well, I cannot. So,
well,
thank you all for joining us.
It's been a pleasure having you. Yes. Whether it's been your pleasure being here, we're not
probably sure. Not.
Yeah, sorry about that. But, you know, we appreciate the effort. Here anyway.
They were waiting for it to get good, and then it didn't.
Them every episode waiting for it to get good just like, doesn't.
There's potential here. It's gonna get good at some point.
Yeah, but guys, wait till the 100th episode when we finally say that story in Rome, Venice, Nice. Yeah,
Venice, Nice / Paris.
Yeah. But yeah. Also, I would like to ask, because I hear that this is apparently very important. If you're listening to this, you've made it this far. You clearly like the podcast. Please give us a 5-star rating, because apparently they really do help. We've never asked for anything from you people. Never.
Yeah.
But I found out the other day that apparently giving us 5-star ratings actually really does help boost the podcast. So, please just boost the podcast, because
thanks.
Clout is the only form of validation we get from this thing, because we make no money off of it. So, thank you. Okay. Talk to you next week. Bye.